The oceans are taking up about a third of the carbon dioxide that we're producing at the moment. The problem is that that is changing the chemistry of the ocean in a very profound way, and it's changing temperatures. We saw a paper published this year by Pollock Zansker et al., which actually looked at basically changes in populations of marine organisms and whether they fitted the predictions that scientists were making of the effects of climate change. And it was found in more than 80% of the cases they looked at. They looked at about 1,700 or more species, that the changes in distribution and other biological effects that we were seeing were consistent with what we would expect from these climate change effects in the ocean. Here, we're actually seeing a change in the chemistry of the ocean, something which many people just didn't realize could happen until relatively recently. Although I have been looking back at some old literature, and even as far back as the 1920s, scientists were discussing the possibility that carbon dioxide could be absorbed into the oceans. Well, essentially what's happening is it's lowering the pH. So there's been a 30% increase in the acidity of the oceans, or the amount of hydrogen ions in the oceans. This doesn't mean that if you put your hand in the oceans, you're going to feel it burning you or anything like that, because the pH is still essentially basic, but it's becoming less basic. That has some profound implications, because it decreases the amount of calcium carbonate in seawater. And of course, many marine animals use calcium carbonate to build skeletons or build their shells. So we're already seeing instances in, say, Antarctica, where we're finding tiny shelled mollusks, tiny snails, if you like, that swim in the surface waters of the oceans. They have now been found with corroded shells as a result of this effect. We know that corals, for example, cannot grow as quickly in waters which are more acidic, because this reduction in calcium carbonate reduces their growth rate. We also know that acidification has some very unexpected results. So, for example, it's been shown that some tropical coral reef fish can't perceive their habitat where they live, they can't perceive prey, and they can't perceive predators in more acidic waters.
So does this mean that some regions in particular, you've mentioned Antarctica, we have the poles, you've also mentioned the tropics, are some regions going to be worse hit than others?
In the case of acidification, it's a simple result of chemistry that cold water absorbs more carbon dioxide. So that means that polar waters are acidifying more rapidly than waters at lower latitudes. So the acidification problem is particularly acute in polar ecosystems. And indeed, within the next 20 to 30 years, we may well see surface waters in the Antarctic which are actually corrosive to calcium carbonate. In other words, that the concentration of calcium carbonate in seawater has dropped below saturation. The natural state of seawater, as we've known it up to now, has been to be supersaturated with calcium carbonate. So we think that polar ecosystems are particularly vulnerable to this process.
So that would, in fact, mean severe consequences, economic consequences and social consequences.
Yes, absolutely. It would be, you know, we would be looking at severe economic and social consequences through a number of routes. So, for example, it is likely to affect the supply of fish from the oceans. So there are consequences there in terms of food security. It will certainly feed back on the levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So a likely consequence of that is going to be an acceleration in the increase in CO2 levels or the rates of increase in the atmosphere. And that is very serious because already the rate of increase is probably geologically unprecedented. In other words, the rates of increase in CO2 we're seeing at the moment are probably as high as they've been for the last 300 million years.
What did it look like 300 million years ago?
Well, the entire global ecosystem has gone through a number of really major climatic change events, and these have resulted in mass extinctions. And one of the interesting things we draw attention to in the climate change paper from IPSO is the fact that on a lot of these major extinction events, and we have the big five extinction events, the biggest of which was the Permian extinction about 251 million years ago, we see the fingerprints of high temperatures, acidification, and also deoxygenation. In other words, similar effects to the ones that we're experiencing today and will increasingly suffer from in future years.